we have been looking at verse 10, and I'll take a little more time on verses that I believe are, you know, like burned on my heart, that I believe we need to mine a little bit more, especially as it relates to the times in which we live. And in verse 10, John says, "Then I fell at his feet," that is, at the feet of Jesus, "to worship him." Unfortunately, I'm sorry, not at the feet of Jesus. He's supposed to be falling at the feet of Jesus, amen? But he's falling at the feet of who? An angel. And I want you to notice this, something. In Revelation 1, he falls at the feet of who? No, in Revelation chapter 1, he falls at the feet of Jesus. Amen? And do you know what Jesus said to him there? "Fear not," because he was so scared. Jesus' face shined like the sun in noonday, and he saw him in not all of his glory, or he would have been burnt to a crisp. But he saw Jesus in a manifestation of some of his power. And he fell down as a dead man. And Jesus laid his right hand upon him, saying unto him, "Fear not. He basically went on to talk about how he has the keys of Hades and death, you know, and so forth. But he didn't tell him not to worship him. He didn't say, "Hey, I'm just a fellow servant," you know. In fact, in Revelation chapter 5, you'll see myriads, you'll see, you know, angels and human beings bowing down and worshiping the Father and the Son. However, when John falls down before an angel, he's told what? Something quite different. But he said to me, "Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus." Worship who? Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of what? Prophecy. And last week we talked about the testimony of Jesus being the spirit of prophecy. The first thing we looked at in chapter 19, verse 10, first message we had on that verse is that we're not to worship angels. Amen. We're not supposed to be singing songs like some popular worship teams that sing songs like calling angels. We're not supposed to be calling angels. We're supposed to be calling on the name of the Lord. Amen. We're supposed to be worshiping him. If he wants to dispatch his angels to, you know, help us, praise God. But the Bible says, why seek even spirits? Speaking of demon spirits in that case, when you can, or seek the dead when you can seek your God. Amen. Isaiah chapter 8. Yet when John falls down, this angel tells him that he's a fellow servant, and he tells him to worship God. And he talks about how, along with the brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus, he says, is the spirit of prophecy. Last week, we spent a lot of time talking about the testimony of Jesus, what it is, how it's basically what God's word says about Jesus, what he's done, who he is, what he will do. Amen. And we also began to get into the power of the Holy Spirit helping us give our testimony of Jesus. Amen. And God's testimony of Jesus is supposed to become our testimony. Amen. Because he talks about, he says, "Do not do that, for I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus." Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. The Holy Spirit inspired the word of God. Amen. And the testimony of Jesus. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 that holy men of God were moved and spake by the power of the Holy Spirit. The prophets of old. All scripture, it says, is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So now the testimony of God's word, which is inspired by the Spirit, belongs to us who belong to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit lives in us. So we become living epistles, amen? Or we ought to, true Christians ought to be living epistles, shining the light of God's word. Are you following what I'm saying? And that's so important. And I pointed out that a lot of commentators on this verse say really it means the testimony of Jesus is the heart of prophecy, or the essence of prophecy. And while it's true that the testimony of Jesus is the essence and heart of prophecy, that verse says the pneuma, the spirit of prophecy. And I tie that into Revelation chapter 22, 6, when John falls down before the angel again to worship, and he's rebuked again, told only to worship God. And it talks about the spirit of the prophets, you know. It's more than just essence. And then I went to Revelation 22, 17, which says the spirit, speaking of the Holy Spirit, the spirit and the bride say what? Come. I think that's the clincher right there. Plus in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, he that overcomes, and so forth. You have all these promises for the overcomer. But in each of those epistles, in one way or another, you hear something like, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. So the Spirit of God is very active in the last days, in the tribulation period. In fact, according to the book of Joel, chapter 2, and the book of Acts, chapter 2, it talks about how God's Spirit will be poured out on all flesh. It's not talking about, wicked, demon-possessed people who want nothing to do with Jesus. But it talks about men and women, older men, younger men, your daughters shall prophesy. Amen. That God, those who belong to the Lord and cry out to him, he's going to use everybody who truly belongs to him in the last days. I think this is so important that we get this. Because not only is the church's eschatology all whacked out and messed up, and we need to recover the eschatological vision of the early church. The eschatological vision of the early church was that evil would continue to increase and there would be an antichrist that would rise in the end times, but that God's power would still rest upon believers and they would evangelize in the world in the midst of much darkness, in the midst of much persecution. And right now, the eschatology of the church has become an escapist eschatology, where the church is being promised that she won't see really hard times. She won't see the tribulation period and what have you. And go ahead, if you haven't seen it, watch our video, They Sold Their Souls. Not They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. Watch that one too. But watch Left Behind or Led Astray. And we just lay it out there and we go through the history and so forth. Or you can grab that in the Welcome Center. You can go online and go to our Left Behind or Led Astray website. And you can watch my debate with Dr. Stauffer in Colorado the summer before last. And it became very clear. We were on their grounds at their prophecy conference. And Dr. Stauffer is one of their main speakers. And that was the climax of all these different leading prophecy speakers, that debate. But even during the debate, when there was a break in the debate, I had people coming to me that were pre-tribulationists saying, wow, it's so clear now, what have you. So I encourage you. We have that whole debate posted for free. Just click it, watch it, But it's important because also we're being told by many of our pre-tribulationist brethren, those who believe the church won't be here for that last 7 years, we're being told that, the Holy Spirit's not going to be on earth either. God's Holy Spirit's going to be taken from the earth. And not only is our eschatology being distorted, what God's word says about the future, but our pneumatology, the study of the Holy Spirit, is being twisted. God's Spirit is very alive and well during the tribulation period. And first of all, people are being told, well, you're not going to be there. Then they're going to find out, then they're there. But then they've been told, well, the Holy Spirit is going to leave. The Holy Spirit's going to leave during that time? No. In fact, we see right here, the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of prophecy, and the Spirit and bride cry out, amen, for those to come in the context also of the end times, amen? And so it's important that we get this. It's important that we understand this because it's God's Spirit through his word that gives light to a lost world. It's his Holy Spirit that convicts the world of sin, amen, and of righteousness, amen, and of justice. And, if we are not, seeking God's power through our witness in our lives, and the Holy Spirit comes to convict through us of, of righteousness and sin. I'm sorry, righteousness, sin, and judgment. Who's going to convict? Are we going to do it on our lonesome? Oh, well, there's going to be these 144,000 evangelists. Where does it say there's 144,000 evangelists? And we criticize the Jehovah's Witnesses because they talk about the 144,000 being a select group of people who, among the Jehovah's Witnesses, who most of which are gone by now, they say. And it's a farce because those 144,000 are sealed during the tribulation period. And they're from among Jews, from the 12 tribes, it says. Yet we also get our 144,000 distorted by adding to the scripture and saying the church is taken and then those guys are going to evangelize the world. And this great multitude that no one can number, they're a result of their evangelism. It doesn't say that in the book of Revelation. You can say that's your opinion. I think that might happen. You don't have any scripture to rest upon, though. Don't say this Bible says that. I hear that over and over again. I'll be driving down the road and I'll listen to Christian radio, and sometimes I'll enjoy guys I don't always agree with, but I believe they love Jesus often. And then all of a sudden I hear somebody say, the Bible says there'll be 144,000 evangelists after the church is raptured and they're going to evangelize the entire world. In other words, don't worry. It's not ultimately your responsibility. Jesus gave us the church responsibility to evangelize the world. Told his disciples, go into all the world. Amen. And make disciples of all the nations. Amen. So we have to remember our responsibility. But guess what? If you're thinking the church isn't there and the power of the Holy Spirit isn't there and somebody else is doing the evangelism, it's not really preparing you not only to suffer, because you may suffer during that time if it was to happen in our lifetime, which it can, but you're also not prepared to be a bold witness and to be the bold witness that God has called us to be, because you are not, you know, relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. There's another problem too, not only with eschatology, the end times being distorted, and pneumatology, saying the Holy Spirit's gone during those times, which is contrary to Scripture, but also with soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. Some pre-tribs say that during that period of time, during the tribulation period, the gospel will go back to the law of Moses. You have to keep the law to be saved. Seventh-day Adventists have been saying you got to keep the Sabbath or you have the mark of the beast for years. Now you have some dispensationalists saying, well, yeah, you've got it's going to be reversion back to the Mosaic law during the tribulation period. Well, what happens when you're in the tribulation? All of a sudden you're being told by certain people, well, yeah, now you got to keep the Mosaic law to be right with God. Now you're under the Hebrew roots deception. I did a message on the Hebrew roots deception a couple months back or so. And hopefully this next Wednesday, I'm going to pray about the timing. I don't want to do seven in a row, but I have like seven different ones I want to do on that deception. But I want to, the church, boom, seven in a row. It's like, it's just that message for 2 months. I want to move around a little bit, but pray about that, because that's a huge deception of the church right now. Yet you have those who would say the Hebrew roots deception is a deception because it puts people under the old covenant when we're under the new covenant. It puts them under Moses when we're under the law of Christ, not the law of Moses. Amen. Amen. And they would understand that. But then they say, but it reverts back to that during the tribulation period. And Dr. Stauffer, who I debated in Colorado on his turf, I showed in his books where he was basically teaching that certain people were to be, you know, Paul was certain parts of the book of Acts was to the church and other parts is to those who are still under the law, you know. But and now to be fair, and praise God, after the debate, we got an email from Dr. Stauffer who said he was revising his book and noted the criticism that I gave in the debate and stated that he was open to suggestions on how to on what to do with that new that book, a revision of that book that had those distortions in it. But it was being made available during our debate out at the different tables that were making different products available to the people. So this is very, very serious. It's you know, some of this stuff sounds like foreign. This is really being taught. Yes. That's why it's so important. And that's why God gives us, warnings not to add or take away to the book Revelation. And that's why he also gives incentive to read it. Amen. And to heed the things that are written in the book. Amen. Because he wants us to be familiar with what he says about the end times. And praise God for the testament of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. And I need to get into my message because I'm on page one and I just went off for 8 minutes saying things I didn't plan on saying. But it's important that we understand that there is a spiritual war. And the end times, and whether you enter into the tribulation period or not, and whether the Lord, you know, allows us to live until that point, because we don't know exactly what generation will happen, and we just know it's getting closer. But for sure, the church that's there, the church that those that belong to Jesus, a great multitude that no man can number from every people, nation, kindred, and tongue, that be cleansed by the blood of Jesus, come out of the tribulation, meaning they were in it. Amen. There's going to be a people that are there. And we have to study this book as though that could be us. Why? Well, Joe, I mean, what if we're not there? And then why are we studying this book? A lot of reasons. Because guess what? Are you trying to build a spiritual heritage where you're leading people to Christ? Leaving truth for even family members, whether they follow Christ or not, but hopefully they will down the line, or children or whoever. You want them to know the truth, amen? In case you're not here. You want those who you share Jesus with to be warned, amen? And we want to be ready in case we go through it. And we also want to understand what it says, because it applies to us today. Because Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. So all believers will face some tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. So even before you get to the book Revelation, The testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy, was already at work in the believer, in the apostles, in the disciples. And he wants to use us. And that's what I want to talk about this evening. How we need to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. This is part two of last Sunday's last Wednesday's message. We need to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. In Daniel chapter 11, I just brought it up briefly last time, but I want you to go there. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Daniel 11, verse 32. And when you get there, notice what it says. And Daniel 11 gives a picture of the Antichrist. And I don't have time to get into all the background there, because I want to emphasize the power of God that's available to us in the end times. But I do want to draw your attention to verse 32. By smooth words, he will turn to godlessness those who act wickedly toward the covenant. So this is a picture of what the Antichrist is going to be doing. A historical figure this is prophesied about, but it telescopes into the future. There's many pictures of many Antichrists that picture the ultimate Antichrist. Just as there's pictures of Jesus throughout prophecy, amen? There's pictures of Antichrist, and this is what the Antichrist will be doing. He'll be speaking smooth words, and he'll turn to godlessness those who act wickedly toward the covenant. But the people who know their God will what? Display strength and take action. Hey, guess what? There's a spirit of Antichrist that's already alive and well in our world today, amen? It's already increasing, because Paul said in the last days, you know, wicked men would wax worse and worse, amen? And the godly, he says, all those who live godly in Christ Jesus would be persecuted. And Jesus said lawlessness would increase. We're already seeing that right now, amen? And guess what? The people who know their God will display strength and take action. That's something we should be doing right now in the face of this lost world. We should be relying on the power of the Holy Spirit for our strength, amen? We can do all things through Christ, through what? Strengthens me. And we should be taking action. There's millions of babies being killed in our country alone. Marriage and the covenant, or the institution of marriage which God created, is being trampled underfoot. We're being told all these lies that there's a few hundred different genders now. And we know it's a ridiculous lie. All that stuff is from the enemy. Now, it's interesting. The King James Version says, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The Net Bible says, but the people who are loyal to their God will act valiantly. Daniel 12:3, go there now. Talking about the coming tribulation period in the first couple verses. Then in verse 3 it says, those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And those who lead the many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. You know what I believe is happening there? Chapter 12, verse 3, complements chapter 11, verse 32. Chapter 11, verse 32, the people know their God will have strength, right? They'll take action. King James, they'll do exploits. A few other translations say exploits as well. You know, we do a lot of exploits. Our videos are a lot of exploits about this whole thing we're talking about, this whole spirit of Antichrist. But it's interesting. It says they'll take action. They'll be strong and so forth. They'll do exploits. But 12:3 complements that. Those who have insight, they'll lead many to what? Many to righteousness. It's about soul winning. The Bible says the one who wins souls is wise. Amen? And you find a similar passage to this in Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus talks about those who will shine like the sun forever and ever, you know? And there it doesn't mention them leading many to righteousness. It's talking about believers. But all true believers who are following Jesus are evangelical to one degree or another, you know? If they don't always say a whole lot, their lives are going to shine for Jesus, because they're going to live for him, amen? And we're going to be living epistles. Now, it's interesting, because last time I was with you, and I was able to go through a few of these verses after I talked about the testimony of Jesus, but I wanted to make a point regarding these verses, and I wanted to draw your attention to other things that I believe these verses apply to in the New Testament and shine light on our hearts as to how it can apply to us. In Matthew 10:19-22, you don't have to turn there, but Jesus says, but when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say. Now, it's interesting. Don't worry about how or what you are to say. And that's interesting, because you get this a few different times. But when you compare it, you get a little more insight. He's saying, you know, He says not to worry about what? About how or what you are to say. Obviously, you're going to preach the gospel if you're following Jesus. Amen. But he's saying you don't have to get so focused on, take a course in homiletics on how to preach, you know. Or I'm going to make these 10 points when I'm brought before kings because of Jesus. Another, he wants you to rely on the power of his Holy Spirit. Somebody came to one of our new videos that we put up. We put up a live stream of a message I did on Mary Magdalene. I mentioned that briefly a little bit ago. I went to a YouTube about it. It was a week ago or so. It's already got almost 10,000 views, which is cool. So our live stream is doing really well. And that one specifically went to YouTube. And just in the last, I don't know, what was it, last week or so, Chad said we have like 1,300 new subscribers to our YouTube channel, which is great. I think we've got like 63,000 subscribers. And a lot of people were saying, Joe, so glad to have you back. We miss you. And I'm like, I've been here the whole time, you know, but the YouTube channel, I said we need to load things up more often because I got that so many times, you know. It's great to have you guys back after 8-month hiatus or whatever, you know. All kinds of people saying things like that. I was like, but some people were saying, hey, we were sent here by this ministry, and they labeled this ministry, and others the same, you know. So I was like, who is that? And who's sending them to this video? And then I saw that another ministry took Rock and Roll Sorcerers of the New Age Revolution when I was like, you know, about 30 or something like that. I don't remember exactly. But 29, 30 years old when I did that. And when I was, you know, years ago, right? Years and years ago. And when I was real thin, you know, I was 240 pounds and everybody thought I was thin. I was not 240 right there, you know. But when I was doing that, and then I went there and the Rock and Roll Sources loaded up on their channel. People take our videos all the time and just load them up. And I didn't say anything. I didn't write the guy, you know. But then I saw the comments under it, you know. And the comments were encouraging, you know. And some people knew who we were and were saying this is Good Fight Ministries and so forth. And I'm sure that's how we got more traffic on our own channel. So they could see the other exploit that we were doing. But some of them were saying he has these, you know, not word polish, but these speaking techniques. And he knows how to keep your attention. And he uses the same technique as this guy that has this ministry. And I'm like, I know nothing about techniques. I have never taken a message in homiletics. And I've never studied how to preach. Honestly, I just pray and cry out to God. Okay, and I can guarantee you if I took a course in homiletics and started studying, you know, then you do this, and then you do that, and then you do this. That wouldn't be me. I want to just be who I am in Jesus, amen? Now, I'm not saying there's not practical things you can learn or what have you, but as I was reading that, I'm like, you know what? I pray and cry out to God that I would be an obedient servant and that people would love his truth and there would be less of me and more of him, and that's the difference right there, okay? And that's the difference in your life when you're communicating with people. Less of us, more of him. Amen? That's how we're effective. And that's how I have been able to be effective. I don't try to be a polished preacher, you know, and watching, you know, every little, you know, what I do spend a lot of time on, and I'm very concerned about, is being very precise, using a lot of precision when it comes to doctrine and truth. Because that's what ultimately matters. Of course, you want to speak clearly. You want to speak boldly. And I pray, God, help me speak boldly. Help me speak clearly. I pray for those things because I want people to hear the truth. Amen? Amen. But it's not about who we are. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not about talk, but it's about the power of God. Okay? It's God through us. And the Holy Spirit wants to use us. But so he says, when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say, for it will be given to you in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks through in you. I love that. That's Matthew 10, 19 through 22. And now he's talking about a specific time when they bring them before kings to testify. This isn't an excuse not to study the word. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Amen? Amen. We need to bury his word in our hearts. Amen. As a treasure and hide it in our hearts and meditate on it day and night. Amen? Amen. And that way the Holy Spirit can take, and that's just what Jesus said, he'll take from that which is his and bring it forth. Amen. So how can, and it'll bring things into remembrance. How can the Holy Spirit bring into things into remembrance that you never even read? Remembering is, it means you remember something that he taught us. That context, he's talking about things that Jesus said to them that the Holy Spirit would bring to remembrance as they'd read the Gospels. But obviously the Holy Spirit will bring things to our heart and our minds right here. We're reading about it, and it'll speak through us even. Amen. And that's a beautiful promise, because how many of you agree we need the power of the Holy Spirit? Luke 21 says a lot of the same stuff. It says, so make up your minds not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves, for I will give you utterance and wisdom, which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. That's in Luke 21, 12 through 15. I just read verse 15. Mark 13, 9 through 13. I'm just going to read verse 12. Because I read more of it last time, but I wanted to catch you up and give you context. Verse 11, when they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given to you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but it is the Holy Spirit. You know what I love about this? There he says, and this is that Mark 13 is end time tribulation period, guys. Holy Spirit is on the earth, because he's talking about being brought before kings, facing Antichrist. That's one we actually looked at last week. Now we're going to launch into a lot of verses we didn't look at. But I wanted to draw your attention to the fact that he's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh during the tribulation period. When the moon turns, you know, blood red, and the sun is darkened and so forth. It's at that time when there's pillars of smoke, you know. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy. Old men will dream dreams and so forth. Acts 2, Joel 2. That's end time stuff. Mark 13, that's end times. Yet you have all kinds of people saying the power of God, doesn't do that anymore. After the apostles died, God doesn't work miraculously through his people anymore. I'm sorry. That's a lie, okay? Satan wants to do one of two different things typically. We're the body of Christ. And we're given different gifts, a different administration of those gifts. So sometimes he wants us to get distorted, and he wants those who believe in the power of God for today and that God's gifts are at work to become distorted in their focus on just one or two things where they become ineffective. Some churches, a lot of churches, they just focus on tongues, because tongues is one of the easiest gifts to counterfeit. I believe that's one reason why. And if you just focus on tongues, right? And the whole, you know, can you imagine walking around with one huge tongue? You wouldn't be very effective, right? And that's what a lot of churches are about. It's just one huge tongue, and it becomes a stumbling block that people stumble over all the time. I've seen it with my own eyes. A church I'd gone to as a new Christian. I don't have time to tell that story because I'm not talking about the gifts of the Spirit. But I do believe that we're supposed to, you know, covet the greater gifts, it says. And pray earnestly that we can prophesy. That means God uses. I'm not talking about foretelling the future with brand new prophecies. I'm talking about speaking God's word, foretelling his prophetic word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And God wants to use us to edify and build up one another. Now, God will give the two prophets specifically in Revelation chapter 11 in the end times, end time context, the two witnesses will prophesy for 1260 days. But then on the other hand, the Bible says, don't forbid the speaking in tongues. It says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. It says, stir up the gifts within you. Earnestly desire and pray that you may prophesy. Despise not prophesying. Quench not the Spirit. I mean, these are warnings about also being careful not to go to the other extreme. Because we're a body. And can you imagine saying, hey, the foot isn't for today? You'd have a hard time walking around and getting a lot done, right? And that's why a lot of those that don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit for today, and they end up relying on psychology and psychotherapy or psychoheresy and things like that, rather than relying on the power of God. So we have to strike that biblical balance. Do you understand? And this is a fellowship where we believe what God's word says. And we believe in miracles of the past, the virgin birth, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we believe that God still works, and we believe that he'll still work during the tribulation period. And we need to understand what he says about the future, what he calls us to in the future, and the fact that he will empower us by the Holy Spirit to get his work done. It's his work. It's his program. It's his plan. We're basically saying, God, here am I. Send me. He's the one that wants to work through us. Amen. And that's so important that we understand. By the way, I love it because the whole Trinity is at work there. The Holy Spirit will give you words to speak. Mark 13. Matthew, the spirit of your father. Matthew 10, verse 19 through 21. There's the spirit and the father. Luke 12, for I will give you utterance and wisdom. Jesus. Isn't that awesome? The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit all at work and giving us testimony. Who else do you need? Amen. Amen. We just need God, His Spirit, His Word. Amen. Amen. So, man, you guys, the name of this message, I gave it to Jim and then I shortened it, man, when I saw him like scribbling and writing for half an hour, the title, you know, how to have last days spirit empowered boldness. Then I said, Jimmy, just last days spirit empowered boldness. Okay. But we need Holy Spirit empowered boldness in these last days. Amen. Whether we enter the tribulation or we just live out the rest of our lives here before the tribulation starts, we are living in dark times. Amen. And the Holy Spirit was active in Jesus' ministry, in the ministry of his disciples. When he ascended, he was very active during the book of Acts. Amen. And he continues to be active to this day. And he'll be active throughout the tribulation period. And the Spirit of the bride will still continue to say, come, no, whether people want to join the Spirit of God or not. He's going to continue to do his work. And that's encouraging. It should be very encouraging to us. Now, in Matthew 28, those famous verses in verses 19 through 21, where Jesus says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, you know, teaching them that, to observe everything that I've commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He's with us always to the end of the age. Right before that, in verse 18, he says, all power or all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Why do you think he says that right before he says, go into all the world? Why? I'll tell you what, not long before that, not long before his crucifixion, that was after his resurrection, just not much, you know, earlier than that, he took them to a very dark place, Caesarea. Not Caesarea in Philippi, Caesarea Philippi, which is, I'm sorry, Caesarea by the Mediterranean. But there's a couple Caesareas. When you go to, if you go to Israel with us, or if you ever go, and I hope you can go someday in the future. If you're a believer, you will go one day. Because everybody's going to be in Israel with Jesus who loves Jesus. And his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives and we're going to reign there. Amen. So don't fret because you're going to be on the best Israel trip. Okay. If you're following Jesus. Okay. You want to make sure you don't miss that trip. But there's a couple Caesareas, but the inland Caesarea. Okay. We're going to go there and we're going to see when Jesus says, I will build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He took his disciples way away from Galilee and Jerusalem into a very pagan area where they were worshiping pagan gods. And we go to a huge cave where a lot of the pagans believed the Greek god would ferry people down Hades and so forth. And it's in that area that Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And he was preparing them to go out in the world because they're used to dealing with other Jews, right? Not dealing with a whole lot of pagans. These are Jewish believers now. He's taking them into a pagan world and showing them an area that's just totally, you know, filled with demon worship. And you can see in this huge cave, just these nooks where these idols once sat. You know, and Pan supposedly guarded the threshold and so forth, and this worship of the goat god and stuff like that. And Jesus, so it's interesting when you go to Israel, start to see the context of where he was at when he said certain things. So right before he's to be crucified, he takes them there and says that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. To let them know that he was going to be victorious. And then just before he ascends, he says, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. What's he letting them know? Don't fear. There's a spiritual war, guys. We're at war with we wrestle against flesh and blood, but a demonic world. Amen. The rules of the darkness of the world, and we're not supposed to fear them. The demons fear Jesus. When he would encounter demon possessed people, what happened often? The demons would freak out. Don't torment us before our time. The Bible says in James chapter 2, the demons fear and tremble. Right? They believe, he says, they believe and they tremble. Not fear and tremble, but they believe and tremble. But you can understand they fear, but that's why they're trembling. And we have his power. Yet as Christians, we see all the darkness shrouding us around the world. And we can kind of sometimes worry. We can kind of fret. Oh no, what's going to happen? Oh no, I don't know. These powers of darkness. But we're supposed to be prayed up, relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, They went out. It shows them going into the world. You know, we're going to Mexico. A lot of us are leaving Sunday morning to go to Mexico. I think we have 40-some people on the trip. Please pray for us that we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not just going to build a house from the ground up in that week for a family. We're also going to be doing evangelism, sharing the gospel with a lot of different people, planting a lot of seeds. So pray for us, amen. We need God's strength. We need his protection. But Brother Joe Pirro said to me that he was talking to some of his workers. Joe does, you know, swimming pools and, you know, brickwork, masonry. He's not a mason as in like 33rd degree mason. Let's get that right. Okay. But he lays bricks and stuff. And great brother, you know, Joe. And he's like, some of my workers, he has some Hispanic workers. He's like, man, are you going to go to Mexico? It's dangerous over there. What are you doing? Kind of thing. But guess what? Everybody needs to be aware. Yeah, there is danger in this world. God forbid something could happen. It'd break my heart if something happened to someone. But we know what we're signing up for, man. We know even if we lose our lives, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And Jonathan would probably say where we're going, it's probably safer than driving through LA maybe, or somewhat safe, right? I don't know if you go on record saying that, but you know, it's pretty safe. But we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. We rely on Jesus and we're serving him. And God forbid anybody would die in that unless it's his will. But if I die doing that somehow or someone else does, what a great way to die. I'd rather die that way than eating a Big Mac at McDonald's. Amen? Amen. You know? I like tacos better than Big Macs anyway. But he's going to be with us. And I love in the Old Testament when they're going to go to the promised land, you know, Deuteronomy 20 verse 1. When you go out to war against your enemies and see the horses and chariots and the army larger than yours, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt is with you. Amen. And in the New Testament, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Amen. He's with us now. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. He's with you guys, brothers, sisters, wherever you're at. You're on the mission field right now. Right? He commissioned them in Jerusalem. We're a long way from Jerusalem. Okay, he encouraged them to go forth in Galilee as well. He encouraged them to be witnesses. And now we're in the uttermost parts of the earth. And this is the mission field too. And he wants to fill us with his Spirit. And he wants us to realize that we need to rely on him. And that he says, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. 1 John 4:4. Amen. Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Amen. Amen. Romans 8:38-39. Neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else. And all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So if nothing can separate us, no created thing can separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus. Amen. Jesus says no one can snatch us out of the Father's hand. The Father is greater than all. Amen. Amen. If you're trusting Jesus and your faith is in Christ, you're secure in Christ. The question is, are you trusting Jesus? And if you're trusting Jesus, you have security in Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, if you're apostate and fallen away, you don't want to claim those promises, because those promises aren't given to apostates. They're given to those who are trusting Jesus. Amen. And the thing is, when we're trusting Jesus, we don't have to have fear. We can be bold. And that's what this message is about, is we need the power of God's Spirit to be bold, not in ourselves, but in his power, and not fear death. You know, and I'm saying that as a normal human man who in my own person without the Holy Spirit would not have as much boldness. I can guarantee you that. But God gives you boldness. Yesterday, my daughter, Holly, who's back there right now, she comes into my office really quick. She goes, Dad, somebody's trying to break in our house right now. There's a few guys at the door and they're breaking in, you know, and they're turning the door handle. And I'm like, okay, well, I have a couple weapons, but I'm like, I'm not going to go up to the front door with a weapon. I'm going to see what's going on. And they couldn't get in, evidently, because they turned around and they were walking away. She goes, Dad, get them. I'm like, oh, okay. Something like that. I forget exactly what she said. And I was like, and I opened the door and I ran after him. There's three guys walking down the street, maybe 40 feet from me. And I was barefoot. So I'm like, Lord, it's going to be harder being barefoot if I have to jump around a bit, but God help me, you know. There's a couple of Hispanic guys. One was pretty big and a white dude that was pretty sizable. And I said, hey, you know, And they turn around. I go, hey, were you trying to break in my house, man? And they said, yeah. I go, that's cool. Whatever you want. No, I didn't say that, man. I go, are you trying to break in my house? And I was like, Lord, give me wisdom here. But hey, man, I'm going to go out there and confront the situation, because if they were trying to get in, maybe they'd try to come back later. I'm just going to deal with it, you know? And they said, no, man. You know, and a guy says, I was just trying to pass out these little flyer things, and I was trying to get one of them in between your door, you know? And that's what kind of scared her. And they came up, and it's Victory Outreach, Simi Valley, a church. They're inviting us to church, you know? And when they got closer and I saw who they were, I go, oh, praise God. I go, okay. And I let them know, because I know Victory Outreach started out of Teen Challenge, you know? And Teen Challenge was David Wilkerson's deal. And we've had been told that, you know, actually with Revivus, we've had Teen Challenge come down there and give their testimonies. And people from Revivus that, you know, ended up hearing the gospel through that evangelistic ministry we have here in town. Several people have gotten involved in the rescue mission, and they've used a lot of our stuff over at Teen Challenge. I let them know just a fraction of what I just told you about that. And I gave them a few videos. And they said, yeah, we're going to check them out, you know, because my truck's right out there. I just pulled them out of my truck. Go, hey, check these out. They go, and one guy goes, we're definitely going to check this out. I mean, it must be from God, because no one's ever chased us down the street before, you know. But I could care, I would care. Okay, I've got my brothers and sisters in Christ. Of course, I've got my immediate family, my wife and kids, grandchildren whom I love. I don't want to go anywhere before it's God's time. But if it's God's time and whatever happens, it's under control, I'm going to be with the Lord. You don't have to fear when you have him. And, you know, there was a guy that was on death row, and he was given a choice of a menu of just a few things he could eat before he died. It was his time to die. And there was beef Wellington and tops, or, you know, caviar and lobster and shrimp and all these incredible things that people love. And he said, I don't want anything on there. Can you make something special for me? They go, what do you want? And he said, some mushrooms. I want to eat some mushrooms. He goes, you know, just cooking mushrooms that you eat out of the can or whatever, or just sauteed up. I don't know how he wanted them to get some mushrooms. He goes, mushrooms? When you can eat all this, why do you want to eat mushrooms? He goes, because I was always afraid to eat them. But now I don't have anything to fear. You know, because I'm not worried about getting poisoned, right? And that's the thing. As Christians, we shouldn't have fear. Because the most the enemy can do to us is send us to heaven. Amen? Which is very much better, Paul said, right? Amen? So, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto him. Then go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And when you get there, just look at verse 49. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, and you are to stay in the city until you are what? Clothed with what? Power from on high. They're supposed to go into all the world, but before you go into all the world to be witnesses, right? Stay in Jerusalem till the day of Pentecost, which is a huge ramifications there. That's the harvest days. Whole picture of the harvest of souls is what that is. I don't have time to get into that. But stay there, and you'll be clothed with power from on high. Remember he said the Holy Spirit would come upon them and give them power? Remember Acts chapter 1, verse 8? Go ahead and look at Acts 1, verse 8. Remember, that's where Jesus says, I'll baptize you with what? But you receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my what? My witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest or uttermost parts of the earth. Brothers and sisters, man, that's a verse I mentioned last time. We're supposed to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses. To be his witnesses. To witness for Jesus. And I personally believe he's not just talking about being his witnesses by being his mouthpieces, sharing the gospel. I believe that's absolutely intended too. But I believe our lives. He just says, doesn't say, you know, tarry in Jerusalem and you'll be clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit so you can witness to people. He says, so you will be my what? Witnesses. It's not just our mouths witness to people. It's our lives being changed. And why do you think in the first couple centuries of church history, the Roman Empire was so radically impacted by the Christians? Because their lives were so radically changed. Today, so few lives are truly changed here in America anymore because Christianity has become so lukewarm. There's very little talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit and being used by God and standing on sound doctrine and remain, keeping integrity with the Lord. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak with tongues and so forth. So they waited and the Holy Spirit came upon them. The place was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Now let's go through the book of Acts really quickly. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. And by the way, please pray for me as far as future books, because I'd love to go through the book of Acts verse by verse. The Acts of the Apostles, the Actions, is an action book, but it's powerful. Acts 4, 8. Then Peter, what does it say? Then Peter, what? Filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people. You see that? Now God's using him, just he said to wait so the Holy Spirit could speak through them, and now God's doing just that. Look at Acts 4, 13. Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter, see the confidence? Did Peter have confidence before he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? No. This is post-Pentecost now. Now, Jesus breathed on them after the resurrection and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Every believer has the Holy Spirit, amen? But we can become empowered more with the Holy Spirit as we cry out to God and seek him and wait upon him. Doug was doing a song during worship, you know? As I wait upon the Lord, I will grow what, Doug? Stronger, amen? I was like, I asked him to sing, hey, bro, can you sing It's Your Blood? I didn't even mean today. I didn't even know he was leading worship today. And then Tony goes, yeah. And so then I heard that. I goes, yeah, hey, bro, that'd be great. But he's singing a song. As I wait upon the Lord, I grew stronger. You wait upon the Lord, it says he'll rise you up on the wings of eagles. Amen. Give you new strength. And though young men, you know, they run and they grow weary, he'll give you new strength as you wait upon him. So you seek the Lord in prayer. You cry out to him and say, God, use me to your glory. And then he gives you strength. In Acts 14, now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John, and they understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with who? Jesus, man. And they were still being with Jesus because he said, I'm with you always until the what? End of the age. They were with him in spirit by the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen. I love Acts 4:8 right there and what I just read as well. Acts 4:27 through 31. For truly the city there were gathered together against your holy servant. They're preaching Jesus. They're gathered against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and all the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their what? Their threats. Peter wasn't hiding anymore. Apostles weren't hiding anymore. Take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all what? Confidence, or if you have the ESV, it says, continue to speak your word with all boldness. Okay? Confidence, boldness. What are they doing? They're praying in the midst of persecution, threats, context. Don't be preaching the gospel anymore to these guys, you know? As you keep reading Acts 4 and 5, they're even told they're flogged and whipped at a certain point and told they're go. If you keep preaching the gospel, you know, they're warned, man. They could even die. They know there's persecution, even execution coming. But guess what? They keep preaching the gospel and they have confidence and they do it with boldness. But what happens? They pray, verse 29. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your servants may speak your word with all confidence or with all boldness. See, they're praying for boldness amidst the persecution. If you just see the persecution and you worry, you don't cast your cares upon the Lord, and you're anxious, and you become anxious, you need to cast upon the Lord and say, Lord, help me be bold in these end times. Right now, we have thousands and thousands and thousands of pastors, Christian leaders and stuff that are cowering under the influence of the liberal agenda of radical Islam. And they're not saying anything. They're not doing anything. Let's keep quiet. Or they don't want to be called a bigot or something. So they're not going to stand for God's word and his moral truth. And guess what? They're cowering all over the place. We have so many people that love our ministry because we take a stand for the truth. And I hear it over and over again. Praise God. You guys preach what you preach and you stand. And I'm like, what? It still blows me away. It's like, wait a minute. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what we're called to do. And it shouldn't be a strange thing. But you have to rely in your own life because the Bible says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Amen. So you have to make sure that you're not conformed to the world and that you don't succumb to the spirit of the world and you rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to be strong in these days. Amen. and not allow the enemy to turn you into a spiritual wimp and part of the problem. And it says, continue to speak the word with all boldness or confidence while you extend your hand to heal. And signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word. With boldness. Amen. So guess what? I've told you before, I never come on the pulpit that I've ever known of. Never do it purposely. I always cry out to God. Hopefully, I try to do it a number of times before ever I preach the word. But I don't just do that when I'm preaching the word in the pulpit. When I visit someone, when I have a meeting, when I do counseling, I cry out to God, God, be with me. Help whoever I'm with. Use me to your glory. Apart from him, we could do what? Nothing. Otherwise, it's for naught. But you cry out to God. You ask the Lord to use you. In 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love and a sound mind or discipline. It's important that we get it. We're not supposed to fear man and destroy the body, Jesus said, but fear God and destroy the body and soul in hell. When you fear God, you don't worry about other things. You know, Psalm 27:1-2, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Amen. Amen. So we pray for boldness. We cry out to God for it. And throughout the book of Acts, we see this boldness. Acts chapter 5, we see the same thing. When they had brought them up, they stood them before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in his name. And this is where, you know, they rely on God. Go to verse 32. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. They don't just rely on their own strength. They realize that the witness that is using them is God in them, God through them. The Holy Spirit will endue you with power from on high. Amen. So rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 9, verse 27, 28. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them. He's talking about bringing Paul now after he was Saul. The apostle Paul got converted. He brings them and describes to them how he had seen the Lord on the road. And he talked to him. And how at Damascus he had spoken out what? Boldly in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. Paul was bold. But you know what Paul said? Pray for me that God would give me boldness. He wasn't just naturally a bold guy all the time. He needed boldness. He needed to come from the Lord. In Acts chapter 14, verse 13, verse 46, you can go there, follow along in Acts if you want. In Antioch, Pisidia, Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly when the Jews publicly reviled them. Acts chapter 13, verses 51 and 52. But they shook off the dust of their feet and protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know why they were filled with joy? Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, long-suffering. A lot of Christians don't have joy because they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. They're not doing God's work. They have their own agenda. They want to do their own thing. They're living for themselves. And as they live for themselves, doing their own things, they're like, why am I down? Because your eyes are off of Jesus. Your eyes are off the Great Commission. Your eyes are off of what God's called you to do. And the Spirit's going one way and you're going the other way. And you're out of step with the Spirit. The Bible says that we're to be in step with the Spirit. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit. We're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. Amen? So if you're struggling, and you could be filled with the Spirit and go through funky times still, because the Holy Spirit can even lead you, like Jesus, into the wilderness to be tempted. You know, God doesn't tempt you, but he'll put you in situations to test you and try you. Amen? But you need to rely on him and cry out to the Father and remain faithful to Jesus in his word, and he'll deliver you through those times. Amen? But the normal Christian life is to have joy. Doesn't mean you won't have hard times. You know, weeping yet rejoicing. We can even in our weeping be rejoicing in Jesus. Amen. And be focused on him. In Acts chapter 18, verse 26, in Ephesus, Apollos spoke boldly in the synagogue. Wow. Acts 19:8, in Ephesus, Paul taught in the synagogue. And we see that in 3 months, he spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. In Caesarea, we read about Paul speaking boldly to King Agrippa. In Acts chapter 28, verse 31, Paul again speaks with boldness, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. There it is. What we've seen over and over again through the book of Acts? They were successful because they were bold, and they were bold because they were filled with who? The Holy Spirit of God. Okay? And I'm trying, it's my heart and my prayer and my cry to God, please help us to be more effective in sharing the gospel. Please, Lord, we're going to Mexico. Help us to be bold. Well, we need to cry out to God and say, God, use us. Amen. Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, Paul prays that we'd be strengthened in the inner man. The church at Ephesus, that would apply to us as well as far as what we're supposed to be praying. That we'd be strengthened by His Spirit, by His Holy Spirit in the inner man and fill the fullness of God. So there you see in the book of Acts chapter 3, prayer to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just start preaching the gospel and don't wait for everybody else to be bold. Just be bold for Jesus. Amen. Because guess what? If you're bold for Jesus, other people will become bolder. How do I know that? Because in Philippians, Paul's in prison in chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. In verse 14, it says, and that most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. So Paul was praying that he'd be used boldly. He was used boldly. He's in prison. And because of his suffering, his imprisonment, guess what happened? Others were given boldness. They saw Paul and like, wow, look what he's doing. And that's a principle that God uses. Just be bold for Jesus and it becomes infectious. Amen. I take people witnessing and they just want to watch. And all of a sudden, before you know it, they're witnessing. And now they go witnessing on their own. I've seen that over and over again. You know, even with my daughters and Holly, you know, to this day. And I remember she's 17 years old. Dad, I'm going to Third Street or going wherever. I'll be home at 1 o'clock. I'm going witnessing with me and just a couple friends. And she'd go share the gospel. Weren't you concerned? I was so happy she wasn't going out getting drunk and she was telling people about Jesus. And if she died that way, praise God, I know who she's with. Amen. And she to this day is still witnessing about Jesus and sharing the gospel. And remember, how many saw the movie Tortured for Christ or read the book? The movie just came out a few months ago. And remember, he's being whipped and, you know, beaten with rods on the feet and everything else. And the other prisoners, when they heard him speaking up and getting beaten, instead of them becoming afraid, why did he say that? I'm sure some of them did. What happened with other prisoners? Do you remember what happened? They became bold and began to share the gospel. Seeing him suffer, they said, I'm going to speak out too. That's interesting how that happens, isn't it? So be bold and be an example, and your own children would probably become bold as well. Amen. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses in our marriage. Amen. Amen. If you're married, witnesses in your parenting, if you're a parent, if you're a single brother or a single sister, you need the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness so you can remain pure and be a witness to those around you. Amen. Who are looking at your lives and saying, who is this person? Amen. So we need to be witnesses. We need the power from on high. And that's God in us, the hope, you know, Jesus in us, Him living in us, the hope of glory. I skipped a lot of stuff to get done on time, but I'm not going to leave it there. I'll share that another time. Not a part four on this particular topic right now, or three. Next time we get together on a Wednesday, it'll be that I'm here because I'll be in Mexico, Lord willing. It'll be on worship God, you know, and how Jesus is worshiped throughout the New Testament. Yet you're not allowed to worship anyone but God, which says what? We'll go through a lot of really clear scriptures. That'll be so good for you to just write down somewhere. So when your JW comes to your door, whoever, you can show Jesus God like that, man. Because look at this. Boom. And that message has been almost done for a long time. So, but I love you guys. And we got a lot going on in this world, and we need to be witnesses and do what God's called us to do. And He wants this fellowship to be faithful to Him to the end. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we love You. We praise You. We worship You. We exalt You. We honor You. All power and blessing belong to You, Father. All glory. Father, we worship You, and we glorify Your holy name. And we pray, Father, in Your Son's name, that You would help us to speak the word of God with boldness, Father. We pray that You'd stretch forth Your hand, Father, and You'd use this fellowship and other fellowships who are truly crying out to Jesus to be used to Your eternal glory, Father, and that You stretch forth Your hand and that You would shake this world up, Father, and that the word of God would go forth, Father, and that people would be healed, but mostly, Father, that they'd be healed spiritually because they come to Jesus. They come to know the true gospel, that He died for their sins, that He rose again and conquered death, that they can be saved if they repent and put their faith in Him. And who He is and what He's done. In Jesus' name. Father, help us to have conviction in our hearts that we are inept and weak without the power of the Holy Spirit. May we feel a sense of our own weakness outside of you. So we're convicted to cry out to you more often, to be filled and used by you to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.